Oh, now
I see. It's good to see all of you out tonight. If you'd like to follow along in your reading the scriptures, turn to Revelation, the 18th chapter. We'll try to read verse 1 through 4 before we're seated. And we want to read the entire, so just keep your Bible open. But I just didn't want to read it all and maybe comment a few things along the way while you was having to stand. So we'll just read the first four verses. Revelation's 18th chapter. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants with the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard, now this is the scripture we want to get to, another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now just hold your Bible there, and we'll read the scripture, but let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us an opportunity of coming out tonight. We pray that you might just bless us with your presence. With you among us, then we have what we need. But Lord, without thee, it's just a meaningless gathering. But with you in our midst, then we have the praise and honor that we need. And we pray that you'll get that, Lord, this night from this service. Forgive our sins. Guide us all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You keep the heat up and everything where you can stay warm, because I know it's colder sitting down than it is standing up. And I've got a fan blowing up here, so turn the heat back up and keep yourself warm. Don't get cold. We'll get to that scripture and you'll see why we were using it, why we'll be using it in Revelations 18:4 there, where it says, Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues. But now, to some of the younger ones, I was just sitting back there thinking a while ago, sometimes we skip over and fail to mention certain things along the way, and maybe in that we slight you a little bit, but I thought we might just read the whole 18th chapter and then just think about it, even if we have to take up our message later on what I want to get to. But see, as I've always tried to say, and the prophet tries to explain it, man's tried to explain the book of Revelations. They've made it in a way sometimes that couldn't be understood. You can get some pretty good understanding out of reading, after, like in your Bible, you'll see Scofield, he'll have things down in his footnotes that'll help to you sometimes. Sometimes they're a little off, and you need help on that, but these things that we see in the book of Revelations, they're in symbolic form. Now, what you're looking at, what we just read and what we'll read, you're looking at a church system. You're not looking like a cage of unclean birds. You're looking at something symbolic. All right? Then, in that symbol, see, if everybody had known what this was, they wouldn't have never been no Roman Catholic church that ruled the world and will again rule the world. See, it wouldn't have been that if people would have known this. But it was a mystery sealed up in the Bible that when all of this would come to pass, then we could look at it and read it and see what it is. So now, just take the symbols and just take what it says about it and think about it a minute. You're talking about a church system. And you'll see why I read that in Revelation 18:4, where it says, Come out of her, my people. See, come out of this church system thing. As I said, it's not just getting your coat and hat and leaving. We'll see that in a minute, that Luther got his coat and hat and left. But he brought out things with him. And that was the downfall of that Protestant church. was the things he brought out with him that caused the downfall of the Lutheran church. See, was what was brought out. So just, now let's just think about this and watch it as it comes through the, through there as we just read the scripture. He says, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, don't look at some kind of something like you see an angelic being, a great spaceship, you know, coming down. Don't think about that. If you were going to bring an angel, a messenger, down to the earth, and the earth would be lightened with his glory, doesn't it speak of John standing out there and being a shining light? John the Baptist? Don't it talk about him being a great shining light? See? Then Jesus being the greatest light of all. Well, see, don't just look at like a symbolic, you know. Don't look at like here comes a spaceship and then here comes a little man walking out of it and he's so illuminated until he just lights the whole earth. See, it's an angelic messenger. An angel means a messenger in the Bible. See, then that can be like Brother Branham was a seventh angel messenger. Or it can be a heavenly angel. See, it can be one of the two that way. It can be an angelic being of heavenly form instead of just being a, you know, an earthly angel. A preacher. He's an angel because he's a messenger. See, he brings a message. That makes him an angel. But now, that doesn't make me a great, bright, shining light, does it? That didn't make John the Baptist a great light, but yet the Bible said that he was a great shining light. Then goes over to Jesus, makes him greater than that, and talks about all the Gentiles coming and seeing the light and the things happening. So now just think, now it's not, we're not looking then at a great shining angel getting out of a spaceship and confound the whole world. We're looking at something in a form of scripture. Now watch, it said, and cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils and the hole of ever foul spirit and a cage of ever unclean and hateful bird. Now it says Babylon is fallen. Now you'll get over later in the scripture. It might even be in this 18th chapter. I'm not certain. I just thought of it. But there's one there where it talks about Babylon has fallen. See, I mean, it's already done. Here, look at Babylon as what Babylon is. Babylon in the Bible was the old Roman Empire. Then it came from pagan Rome down through the old pagan Rome, see, that ruled the world back there when Jesus was crucified. It was a Roman government. That same Babylonian thing that come down now is spiritual Babylon, which is the Roman Catholic Church. Alright, then if it's the old mother whore, and it called her even these things throughout here, you know, then it has harlot daughters. That's your Protestant churches. The old mother whore is the Roman Catholic Church. You Protestant daughters, see, are the harlots that go along with it. Now, as I've said over and over, there's real good people out there. Our families are out there. I'm not calling your family a harlot or a whore or a prostitute or anything. I'm calling it what the Bible says about it. Because my family's there. Now, God judges them according to what they believe and receive. Then they'll make their own judgment, won't they? I mean, if they choose to be a Protestant, choose to be a harlot, then they'll be a harlot for God. You know, I mean, they'll be that. God will know they're going to be that. But if they choose to believe the Lord and come out of that, then they go into bright. If they don't even come out, God can still wink at their ignorance because they don't know what these things mean. My brother-in-law is a Baptist preacher, and he says this great animal over here where it talks about raising up out of the sea, you know, and the great horns on its head and all like that and deceive the world. He said that's some great animal. It'll come up out of the ocean one of these days. Some great animal, see, that'll walk the earth like King Kong, you know, some kind of huge animal and rule the world. Well, now, we would laugh at that. See, because we think that he's foolish, but now he's foolish. That's what he thinks. But you and I know better. But yet we still hold on to things. Watch it in the message. We hold on to things, bring out things with us, and we're in worse shape than that poor brother is. Because God winks at ignorance of man. But then when the word is presented and the light comes, he commands you to repent of that. But I wonder how many of us tonight has even asked the Lord to forgive us. Now you'll see in a minute what I'm talking about, why I'm saying that. Ask the Lord even to forgive us for being back there in that denomination and stuff. I thank the Lord every day for me not being or bringing me out, but I wonder have I actually just repented to the Lord for being back there. Now we couldn't help it. We come through that. We couldn't help it. That's the way you have to come. But have you even thanked God for bringing you out of it? You ought to thank Him every day. You ought to praise Him every day for bringing you out. Now, so just watch now. It says here that Babylon is fallen. Right? Babylon did fall. The natural Babylon fell and come forth as a spiritual Babylon. Then spiritual Babylon, now watch. The Roman Catholic Church was the early church. She had the truth. And watch the scripture says she's fallen. And says she become the cage. I've never seen that scripture until I read it just then. See, she's fallen from her state. The Roman Catholic Church, what we call it today, now it's split up and all kind of, two or three different kind of Catholics. But see, they'll say, we're the first church. And they were. They were the first church. You want me to get the prophet's words for that, or do you believe me where I can move on? They were the first church. All right, them being the first church, then they failed, didn't they? They started out, now I ain't talking about the book of Acts being the Roman Catholic Church, and somebody hears that, don't even try to think that away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the prophet said. He said, they say they were the first church, and he said they were the first church. And they fell from that state of being the first church. Alright, then the scripture says Babylon, when this great shining angel comes down to lighten the earth, which would be the word, watch, that angel would be bringing a message to lighten our understanding. That would be what would lighten the earth. Not a great shining light all over him, he'd light the world. It would lighten our understanding, wouldn't it? Turn that heat back up a little bit, if you don't, I know it's cool to you because I'm cool up here. And I don't want you to get cool. I want you to get so hot you get sleepy because that'll make it that much worse. But at least stay warm. But now think. See what the scripture's saying? This great shining angel comes down. And when his message comes down, it lightens the earth. See, a great light shines forth. All right, now we ought to be able to see where we're talking about. And this, when it does, he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon is fallen. Brother Branham said, Babylon, said that Roman Catholic Church was the original church and fell from that state. All right, she's fallen. Then when she fell, what'd she do? She become the cage or the habitation of devils. People that say they've been over there, Brother Brown said he'd been down through there, where they take the bones of those people, you know, and where does all this Halloween and all of these things come from? Come to Roman Catholic Church. Ghosts and goblins. Now, what's that got to do with anything in the Bible? But yet Halloween and all that comes from a Roman Catholic doing. See, it become the habitation of devils. I tell you what, I'd hate to have to sleep in that place one night. I mean, I guess I'd be so creepy I couldn't sleep because the Bible said it's become the habitation of the devil. I'm talking about over there, you know, in the Vatican, you know, to go in. It's probably a beautiful place. But I'd sure hate to have to go there and spend a night. I'd rather just sleep out in the slum somewhere. I believe I could sleep better. That's just my personal point. But it said now that it's become the hold of every foul spirit, and it's become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, what's an unclean and a hateful bird? That's not a vulture, you know, that just flies around. Because Peter saw all the animals let down in a sheet, and he said, don't call that unclean what I've called clean. I know he's talking about the Gentiles there, but he did see animals. Well, it wouldn't be an animal, it would be a hateful. I don't know of a hateful bird nowhere, do you? I don't know of a hateful, I guess about the worst hateful thing that a deer hunter could think about is a bunch of crows. You know, because they just aggravate you to death, always running around, crowing around you, and you trying to listen. But he's still not a hateful bird. See, he's just doing what he's supposed to do. But see, that would be when the Roman Catholics, then you're Protestant. Now watch, you poor old people. Those people are caged up in that system. Those people are caged up in those denominations. They become unclean birds. See, they become to a place that they're unclean. Now watch what it says. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The only religious place in the world that could ever go into all of the world would be the Roman Catholic. See what it's talking about? It's become that. It's all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The Roman Catholic Church rules the world. They won't know anything. They go talk to the Pope now. See, all the great men of the world want to go talk to the Pope. Fulfilling the scripture in it. Great men, kings, do that. But now here's the verse. It said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. My people. Now, if that was just a bunch of cages and a bunch of animals and a Babylon, you know, and all of this thing like you'd think of a natural thing, what, and that great angel with a great light, then it wouldn't be no trouble to come out of that, would it? It wouldn't be a bit of trouble, would it? You could come out of that real easy. But see, this angel, this voice, and Brother Branham said that right there, Revelations 18:4, was that third angel that come across, which would be the prophet in the end time, not Brother Branham, the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, calling the people out of the system. And that's what it actually is. See, he's saying, come out of her, my people, if you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues. Watch the scripture now. Just think about what I said as we read the rest of the scripture. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now watch what he says. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived, how you pronounce that, deliciously? So much, or delicately, I can't pronounce it, you get it. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. See, she don't claim to be a widow. She don't claim to already be divorced and her husband dead. She claims the same God you claim. You're talking spiritual now, see, not just a natural woman. This woman here claims the same God you claim. She'll see no sorrow, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Let me just stop there, because if I go on, you read the rest of the scripture, and just see what it's talking about. Babylon, the mighty city, now that's Rome. That's the old Roman government. See, that become, if you go back to Daniel and his reading, you'll see how that there was five stages that come down. And this one up here would start off, you know, with a certain things. The next would be the Medes and Persians. The next would be this and come down. Read the book of Daniel. When it does, it comes down to the feet. When it gets to the feet, you got the iron and the clay. See, just running over each other, 10 toes. Even Schofield knows that's the old Roman Empire, because that's the way it come down to the Medes and the Persians and on down till it come to the Roman Empire. He knows that, see, and put it in his footnotes. But if you want to talk about it sometime, just come to the house, we'll sit down and just talk about and see how that old Roman Catholic thing started way back under it. Didn't this start, say, 2,000 years ago somewhere with a little doctrine? The old Roman Empire. Over in the book of Revelation, it said this animal that come up received a deadly wound and then was raised up. See, that was when the old Roman Empire died down back yonder, when Jesus was there, you know, and they crucified him. Then after then, you come on down for a while there that the old Roman Empire ruled the world, and then they got destroyed. See, then after they got destroyed, it come out spiritual Babylon then. And as it come out down through there, it become the Roman Catholic Church, not the Roman government. Rome Italy, I wouldn't even know, I can't keep all of that straight, where the Vatican's at and what it is. I reckon it's all that's called Rome Italy. Rome Italy don't rule nothing. They're a government out there, just like the United States is. But the Roman Catholic have the highest ruling over all of that. Any question above the natural government law, they're the authority, because the Vatican is a city within a city. That's why back in World War II, Brother Tatum and them would know the soldiers there, they were allowed to fire on all kind of churches and everything and destroy them, but they couldn't destroy those Roman Catholic things out there. It's in the city of Rome. All right, then just think now. That great mystery that's put here in the Bible is the mystery Babylon. But it's the old Roman Empire that came back now as spiritual Rome, or the Roman Catholic Church. And then the harlot daughters that she has is your Protestants. You know, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. And listen, I have to be honest, the biggest portion of this message is just as much Catholic as ever been a Catholic. So I'm not throwing off on Baptists, see, or Methodists. I'm trying to get us all to see. But it wouldn't do any good to try to tell you how bad the Baptists are. You know yourself, I don't never preach here how bad they are out there. Boy, look how bad they are, you know, and all around. I preach about what's going on among us. But it wouldn't do any good to tell you about how bad they are. You know how bad they are. But it's what's going on among us and what's in us today that we want to look at. But when you're reading it, just read the rest of the 18th chapter and just follow that thought in your mind, that you're looking at the church system of this day. And you can see how that she's fallen. When she fell from her estate with God. That great bright light, I told you about that. The Word is the bright light. It told you she fell away. She fell away from her estate. Now, what is it? She's become the cage of all kind of devils and unclean. And you and I, listen, whether you like it or not, people here in this tape, whether you'd like it or not, we're still right there in that system. Oh, I've come out of that. Brother Tatum and them can tell you that years ago, and I didn't even know what a lot of these things meant. I stood in the first church that I left the Baptist and went into in this message. I stood in that church. I said, listen, I've come out of the Baptist. Now I want God to get the Baptist out of me. And those people looked at me then and said, you know, what do you mean? I said, because I know I still got their ideas. I still got their doctrine. I still got their teaching. And I want God to get that out of me. But now, that's what's now? You just read the rest of it and think about how that she now, nobody makes a move anymore unless they ask Rome. And it won't be long Maybe we won't see it. Brother Brown said we wouldn't see the covenant made between the Jews and the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is a pope, you know, coming down to one figurehead, because anything against the word's Antichrist. But it'll come down to that pope will make a deal to pay off the national debt. Now, what if the United States today, what if they wanted their national debt paid off? Where would they go get the money to do it? They don't have enough gold to do it themselves. But the Catholic Church has enough gold to pay our national debt. The United States national debt, the Catholic Church has got enough gold. Every time they sell any gold now, the Catholic Church buys it. And look at the price of it. Who do you think shot it up like that? Oh, sure, it's going like this now. You know, it's just playing up and down. But it went from $35 an ounce. So now it's even over $400 an ounce, been up to $500, $600 an ounce. If they had enough money years ago when the prophet told it in the seal book, if they had enough money to pay our national debt then, how much you think they've got now when you figure from $35 an ounce up to, say, $400 an ounce? How much more money have they got? How much more is their gold worth? See, they are the ones that can do it. And the Bible tells how that these great merchants and all stand off and say, alas, alas, the great city, you know, that ruled the world and all the things. And she'll do that, because when they want to pay off the national debt, they just go to Rome. We've got a man over there now talking about a lot of things. What's he discussing with them? When one man, they sent him over there years ago, and he himself come home, he said, that's too much church and state. They sent a man over there, and the man come home himself. He said, no, that's too much church and state. The church is always, the Catholic Church never wants to rule a state, not like that. They just want to be the last word for the state. You know, this is the final authority. They don't want to have to do with running it. They couldn't run it. They couldn't afford to do all that. They just want to let the government run itself of Rome, and they're just set there, and if there's any decisions made, they make the last one. See? Rome sits there. Rome's in bad financial shape. The government of Rome is just like the rest of us, in bad financial shape. But the Roman Catholic, sitting right there in the middle of it, has got enough gold to pay off all the world's national debt. Got that much gold. Gold's the only thing that's tradable when you get down to it. Ask these people that went through the Depression. They didn't have no money, did they? Because it was gold currency that was demanded. The dollar bill you got in your pocket, that's a who owed who note now. That's not a Federal Reserve note. It's a who owed who. That's just a piece of paper between me and you. Ain't no dollar there to back it up. But I'm just talking. Now listen, I hate to take that much time, but I wanted it for the young ones to think about it. Because we talk about a lot of things, you know, and maybe we don't explain it. Maybe that's my fault. I don't explain it. I expect you to understand it. But the Bible speaks in the end time how the Antichrist would be so great he'd deceive all but the bride. Then if he's that great of a person, it can't be something, you know. They said, who's this man, Kissinger? They tried to figure out one time if Kissinger was the Antichrist. Everybody looking everywhere for the Antichrist. Anything contrary to the Word is Antichrist. If me and you's contrary to the Word, then we're Antichrist. That's why I put so much emphasis on the Word. Now I want you to keep that in mind now, and you read the rest of it, and see how that even the blood of all of the saints, the last verse of it says, even the blood of all was found in this woman that you're talking about. And all that were slain upon the earth, blood of the prophets and saints, was found in this woman. Now, we got down to a place this morning that we saw that the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. Now, let's just get into our message with that as a background, just to help you to pick up some that maybe don't understand what's said sometimes. We saw how that it had the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, had unfolded itself down to Brother Branham's hour, because he could see personally what's going on. Now we ought to be able to see how it's unfolded itself down here to where we are, 1983, because we have lived 20 more years. Brother Branham, as I said, could only speak of what God told him. He could only speak of what had already happened. You know, he could speak prophecy of the future. I can talk about the future and you know, believe for the future, but I can only tell you of what's happened in the past and what's happening right now. So then, we only can speak of what's in our own life. And I hope you caught the point this morning of why Jesus couldn't tell us about that seventh seal. He told us about six, but he couldn't tell about the seventh because it hadn't been fulfilled. He hadn't experienced his second coming. He had experienced his first coming, but he had not experienced his second coming, so he couldn't tell you about his second coming. He was limited to that flesh part there. He couldn't tell you no more than what the Father told him to tell. And he said, I don't know when I'm coming. He said, only the Father knows when I'm coming. He said, the angels don't know when I'm coming when they ask him about his coming. All right, we found that the seventh seal is his coming. Now, think of this. Why would he have to now? Think about Jesus. Why would he have to tell back there about his second coming? Now, he prophesied of it. He told of it. He spoke of it and everything else. The whole Bible speaks of his second coming. So we found the seventh seal to be the second coming of Christ, or the coming of Christ, as Brother Random would put it. Then if it's the coming of Christ, then it is spoke of throughout the Bible, ain't it? Then the prophet, when he said the seventh seal is spoke of from Genesis, then it is spoke of from Genesis, ain't it? Because it speaks of his second coming. When you see something speaking of the second coming, then you're speaking of the seventh seal. Alright, then Jesus wouldn't have to speak of it back there. You know why? Because he was going to be over here in the end time. He's going to be here personally to tell you about it. See, he didn't just leave it that he would back there and didn't know what it was, and then he comes over here and Brother Branham tells what it is, and Jesus sitting up there, glory, I didn't know what it was till now. No, he's the one that I'm putting all the honor on, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that would be here in the end time to bring the message. Watch when I get to it in a minute where I talk about the two witnesses being that seventh trumpet, and I'll read it to you right out of the book. Then that Brother Branham is the seventh seal, and read that right out of the book. And then you'll go haywire holding that point like that, because that'd make those two prophets God, that'd make Brother Branham God. But watch what that is. It's God in those two prophets. It's God in a prophet here in the end time that brought the message. Because the prophet himself is the Holy Ghost, not the man that's living there. Ain't careful, you'll believe in deity, and that's what you got to come out of, because the Catholic Church believes in the Pope being deity. You've got to come out of that, and there wouldn't be any need of, oh boy, ain't it something? We don't believe in the Pope being deity, but Brother Branham was deity. You done come out of the church, but you brought it out with you. You brought the system right out with you, and you come into this message. See, then if you don't lay it down right, you'll be preaching Brother Branham as deity. And then somebody like me will come along and say, hey, brother, you calling Brother Branham the seventh seal? Yeah, I'm calling. All right, and you calling him deity. Shut up. Because I'm just that away. That's the way I think. I have to think that away. Because my life is at stake in this thing. Not only do I have the responsibility of a church that I've got to tell the truth to, my life is at stake. If I tell you a lie, what would it do me any good to tell you a lie? We'd just all be found liars. But now think about it. We found the second coming. Jesus would be here himself in that coming. Then don't the word, how many messages have I preached on it years ago? And I've got a thing now at home that I'll be glad for you to read if it takes it to prove a point. I preached years and years ago that the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord and that the word come means to literally be here. Now they're back there on tape. I don't have to brag. I'm just telling the truth. Years ago I preached that, I don't even know how many years that's been. Probably 10 years ago. that I preached, the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord, and the word come means to be here. It means His literal presence. I never looked that up in the Greek. I didn't go to no concordance to find it. God told me about it, and I come told you about it. All right, then here comes people along later now with this great message called Parousia. I might not be pronouncing that correctly, but it means His literal presence. And I've got a folder of tape after tape after book of scripture after scripture that these men now have brought forth to prove that the word parousia means His presence here. But now I'm going to tell you what I think about them. I've never heard one of them yet talk about His presence here among them. I've never heard them talk about how He's here now. They always talk about how He was in Brother Branham. That's the kind of parousia they believe in. Now, if you've heard it, you bring the tape to me. Oh, I've heard them spend, you know, they'd talk about it a little bit, and they'd talk about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is among us, but then they'd spend hours on Brother Branham. And that God was among us. God can speak, as Brother Branham said on Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, that He could reveal Himself to the most illiterate person. The man that started that main message of Parousia is a great intellectual person. I love the brother. I know him personally. Nothing against him. Heaven help, I'm glad he finally brought it out. Because then maybe people would believe what I was saying to be true. Maybe they would believe what I said years ago to be true, that the coming of the Lord means to be His presence here. So then He wouldn't want to tell nobody back yonder about it. He wouldn't have to tell nobody about it. Because when the people that would catch it and really get what He's talking about, He would be here then. You think He wasn't here when Luther come out of the Catholic Church? You better think. I've always tried to preach Luther was, God was in Luther just and happy to be there just as much as He's happy to be in you today. I've always tried to get people to believe that. That God was just as happy in Luther's justification and brought the message that brought the whole world to its knees. Then there He was. But He could only speak in part in Luther. You'll see it in a minute. He could only speak in part there. But here He can speak in His fullness because He's here now. His very presence is here. I told you before, I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. He's already here. Now, let's just think. Now, what did we get to this morning? There's three things covered in the Bible. And don't confuse quotations with Brother Branham or scriptures. Rightly divided, there's three things in the Bible covered to the second coming. One of them is to the bride of Jesus Christ, when He comes back to get her and take her in the rapture. The second one is to the Jews, when He appears to them in the tribulation. And the third thing in the Bible now, three things covered of the second coming of Christ that I know of myself. That the second coming of Christ will be in the millennium when He literally comes back in a corporal body into the millennium. That's the second coming of Christ. Now, think. Look, what we want to cover is the part about His coming to me and you. Not about to the Jews, we might have to refer to them. Not about the millennium, because we might have to refer to that. But we're talking about now, and keep your mind, soul, and eye on what I'm trying to get to you, is that the coming of Christ to the bride. See, we talk about a rapture. Now watch. Watch my words now. Get your word right, and it'll come out right. The word rapture is not the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is not the rapture. The rapture is the Lord going that away. The rapture is the Lord taking you. Oh, I just saw it. If we can get it, here it is. Listen, please. I know where it's at now. Listen, please. You on tape? Listen. What's the coming of the Lord? You got the rapture. You will see it. Forgive me. But when I see something like that, I can't help it. His brother Branham, one time, he was bragging in the cross. He said, now you ain't no need of you telling me nothing no more. He said, I know that's right. He said, because I done seen it go across. Then there ain't nothing you can tell me to change my mind now. I know where it's at. If we can get this, church, then you'll see what it is. If we can just get it, then you'll see what the rapture, you'll see. I've got in my notes, the last thing I got on the last page of here is to go into the rapture message next. But I didn't even know that, to see that. But the rapture, now look, rapture is not the Lord coming this way. Rapture is the Lord going that way. Coming here is this way. He's got to get here before he can take us there. You see what I'm talking about? The Lord's got to come here before he can take us into rapture. But you'll see what the rapture is if you watch it. You'll see how the Lord does it himself. And it'll be in the very thing if you watch it in the message now. What is the second coming of Christ to the bride? See what I said? Now, it's not the rapture. People talking about, oh, when the second coming of Christ, that's the rapture. No, the second coming of Christ is him coming here. The rapture is the benefits of him going that way. We just go with him when he leaves. Was, now watch, was the first coming of Christ the day he went in the rapture? Are you following me? Was the first coming of Christ when he went in the rapture, you know, when they saw him there after his death, burial, and resurrection, he went up over there and, you know, and the saints went up with him. Was that his first coming? No, his first coming is when he come in flesh. So let's don't look at the second coming as the going away. We'll get to that and you'll see why the prophet, when he finally caught it, of what the going away was. But you got to get him here first. Now that's what we want to deal with, is his coming here. What is his coming to the bride now? And you'll see what the prophet says it in simple terms, that it's already past before you ever even know it. This is off of page 15, it's the rising of the sun. Now listen. Listen to what he said. He talks about who is this Son of Man. He said he's the Word. Then he comes down. Says the words will be waved again in the last days. All of us know the message of it's the rising of the sun. He talks about a sheep wave. That's not Brother Branham. That was the Word in Brother Branham. The sheep wave wasn't Jesus. It was the Word that was in Jesus. Maybe I can say it that way. The sheep wave was the Word. Because that's what it always is. It's what's to be waved. But now listen. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those who slept. In the bride coming of Christ. Now what's he talking about now? He's talking about the bride coming of Christ. He ain't talking about to the Jews. He ain't talking about the millennium. He's talking about to the church, now the bride. In the bride coming of Christ. Now, what does he say that is? You know what he said the bride coming of Christ is? Do you honestly know what he said the bride coming of Christ is? It's so simple till you just stumble all over it, see? That's why I said you ain't doing away with my job when you read these books over and 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 over. You see how I read them? What is the bride coming of Christ? Can anybody here tell me? Can you tell me what the prophet said in the next four words? Can you tell me what the bride coming of Christ is, the next five words? All right, then that ain't done away with my job, has it? If you'd have read that book, how many times, Brother Tatum, have you read this as the rising of the sun? Probably ain't no telling, hardly. How many times have you read it, Brother Collie? Now, I'm not throwing off on him. I'm just showing you, you're not going to do away with the preacher when you read. You will help me. How many times have you read that book and still don't know what I just said? He tells you what the bride coming of Christ is. See, that's where the anointing on me stops at that point. And I get what he's talking about. That's the anointing to come back and preach to you, then to tell you what it is. Then when I read it, you'll know what it is because you've already read it yourself and know what it is. So what is the bride coming of Christ? It ain't the rapture. It's his coming here. Now what is it then? Watch what he says. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. Now in the second coming of Christ to the church, what would that be then? Oh, there'll be a great light coming. Oh, there'll be great angels and we'll see all these. Now, it's done over with, and people are looking for that. It's done over with, people. But he was the first fruits of the resurrection. The prophet covers in this message, read the it's the rising sun. Jesus was waved over the church on the day of Pentecost. Raised up right before then, seeing, went up into heaven and waved over the people that would come on the day of Pentecost. What was he saying? He's saying, you know the message. I'm a son of God. I'm the word that reached maturity. And I'm now waved over them what? That will come. And on the day of Pentecost, here come the church. The same wheat that he was, wasn't it? Brother Branham covered it how that in the last days it'd be a sheaf wave. They said, boy, that's Brother Branham how the way. Watch. It was God in Brother Branham, but it wasn't Brother Branham, it was the word that was to be waved. Go right on down the page and you'll see that he says that they were sheep to be waved. And again, in the last days, the first one to come to maturity proved that it was wheat, that it was a sheep. It's to be waved over the people. And first time there was to come from far the bright age for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power. Not Brother Branham waved over the people. The word in the prophet had reached maturity. He couldn't preach these messages to us unless he'd experienced it. That's what I was trying to get you to this morning. He couldn't preach the stature of a perfect man if he hadn't experienced it. He wouldn't know what it was. But when he had experienced it, he could preach it. He could preach it's the rising of the sun because he'd experienced the rising of the sun. See, he could preach the seventh seal on Christ, the mystery of God revealed because he had experienced that. He knew what the coming of the Lord was then. But what is the coming of the Lord to the bride? It's the bride coming to Christ, coming out of the church. What did the prophet say it was there, showing that this one had come out of all denominationalism? Brother Brown standing there one day, he told Brother Lee Vail, said, for one time in my life, I have no fear. Another time he saw him, he said, Brother Lee, he said, for one time in my life, I have no condemnation. Why? The word in him had brought him to the place that it was just God and God alone. Now let's think a minute. If we can look at the second coming of Christ to the church, to the bride now, and see that it's the bride coming out of the church. You said, that's too simple, Brother Dale. All right, you go find it now. That's too simple. We can't believe that. That's too simple. You go find it and bring it. You can't find it, but you'll make fun of the simplicity of it. I'm talking to anybody that would hear this that would think that away. I hope none of us don't, but I'm just saying that for all of our benefit. I'm just warning us not to think so lightly about the word. Because listen, I said this morning, I said, it's been going on among us. Brother Brown said it's unfolded itself down to this present hour. That was right there in 1963. All right, I said, now listen, it's unfolded down to 1983. I said, it's going on among us.
What's going on? The seventh seal's going on among us. What is it? It's the bride coming of Christ. The bride coming out of the church. Now you see how simple that is. Now watch it tie with everything in the Bible now. It's been going on. What was Paul? Now watch. Now, let's go back there. I told you this morning, I said he's been coming ever since he left and went away. And he come back on the day of Pentecost and started his coming. What was Paul's main message? What was the Apostle Paul? Just to show you this in the Bible, and you can start it there in the book of Acts. What was Paul's main message? Trying to get people away from their old ideas of the old system of the church. Now, wasn't that his main message? Ain't that what he was continually bringing forth? To try to get them away from their traditions? Didn't he say, don't the Bible say there, one of the writers, might not be Paul, but one of them said, Jesus speaking, said, through your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. Jesus' whole message was trying to get them to come out of that old idea of salvation just through being a Jew. Just through being a natural lineage and a high priest that was making sacrifices, bringing them to a living God. And on the day of Pentecost, when the church started off, wouldn't that what Peter, Paul, read the New Testament and see if Peter and all of those, James and them, wouldn't continually trying to get people to come away from that old idea of salvation through what they were and born that away. Paul said, you think you're something. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I sat under the feet of Gamaliel. I'm the greatest trained man around here. And he said, I count all that dung. Manure is what he counted all of his whole life. He said the God from his youth, from his mother's womb that had called him and brought him to that place. Then it's been a coming of the Lord ever since then. The whole Old Testament is his first coming. All the New Testament is his second coming. But now watch, Paul couldn't come all the way out. Oh, people wouldn't like that. Paul and that early church, they come all the way out to get the faith of the fathers, we call it. Oh, what a church it was standing there. But they couldn't get it out far enough. If they could have got it out far enough, it went back to the side. That's what I tried to preach to you. They'd have put it back in his side and restored the church, but they couldn't do it. They got it out so far, and then when it did, it started dying and going into the ground. And when it started going down, poor old Luther caught that great revelation of the just shall live by faith, but he couldn't bring the church out. He couldn't fulfill the coming of the Lord. Watch it, you'll see. That as in the Old Testament was spoke of his first coming, all the way through the New Testament speaks of his second coming. Spoke of in the Bible the seventh seal. Luther couldn't get the church all the way out, could he? He brought out things from the church with him. Wesley, the great man preaching sanctification like he did, that turned the world upside down, sent missionaries all over the world. But he couldn't bring the church out. Pentecost coming with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God himself living in a person among the church, but he still couldn't bring them out. What happened to the Pentecostals, the great ones that you even, some of you are old enough to know the days it was back there and what was happening? What happened? She's fallen. Didn't the day of, I'm talking about Azusa Street Pentecost, with the baptism, ain't she fallen from that estate? Then she's part of the mystery Babylon then. I ain't talking about the true seed that was among there now. Because the true seed that was among there was God's second coming being made manifest. You can't come over here in the end time and say, we're in the second coming, but Luther didn't have nothing to do with it. Then where's your feet to hold the body? Luther was a part of the second coming just as much as me and you, but he could only speak of it. this Think Church, when they come out, they brought the doctrine with them. They brought it out. The second coming couldn't take place back there. I'm talking about in its completeness. But it could speak of it. Luther coming out of the church spoke that there'd be a church one day that would so come out until he would be here. And then he'll take us out. Luther spoke of that. Wesley spoke of that. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the men were led like that, said they didn't know what they were doing, but they knew the spirit that was in them was signifying something that was going to happen later on, didn't it? All the Old Testament spoke of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. There's your seventh seal that Brother Brown said it spoke of from Genesis. That when it put God in human flesh, when that ended, there was God in human flesh. When it ends in the end time, what will it be? God in human flesh. Our flesh. The bride. The bride coming of Christ is coming out of the church. Paul tried to get them out. He got them a way out. Then it wasn't far enough. Then it started sliding back. He couldn't put them back into the side of Jesus. Now me and you got to come out like he come out. Not just come out like Wesley. Wesley left. Wesley got his coat and hat. Now I'm not talking about Wesley and Luther and them as maybe you'd think, but God knows what I'm talking about them. It's the truth. They got their coat and hat and come out and brought some of the church with them. Oh, what a coming out that was. Oh, I wished in our day we could just see what Luther saw of God. I wish people in this message would see what Luther saw of God. If they saw that, this church, we'd have to build one cover to the city of Lula. If they could just see what Luther saw of God. You think they'd walk away from the Word when God is the Word? That hurts, but it's true. You think they'd walk away from the truth if they were that? No, they don't even see what Luther saw. Brother Branham said if Luther was here today, he said he'd believe this message 100%. That's how I believe about him. Because Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If he is here today, he'd believe this word because the baptism of the Holy Ghost got to go to the Word. Now where's the people going? They're going away from the Word, so what's... That's them now. That's not me. I'm not judging nobody. The Bible says he's a spiritual judge of all things. The Word's what's spiritual. You leave the Word, then don't tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you leave the Word. This won't work. Because the Word's the only hope I got. Alright. It could not take place in Luther, Wesley, even in the disciples. Look how far they come out, as I started to say. But they couldn't get all the way out enough to bring God on the scene like He wanted to. They couldn't complete the second coming of Christ. But me and you have got to do like Luther done. Get our coats and hats sometimes and leave. And then when we do, we pray and ask God to get that out of us until we get back to the faith of the fathers where the disciples, how far they had come out of that organizational system. Because listen, the organizational system I'm talking about is the way you're born. I ain't talking about just Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, this, that, or the other. Do you know that in the Garden of Eden, that was what Eve fouled the whole organizational system up and look into her very first product? If you think it ain't right, Cain taught salvation by works. Great man, great thing, made great altar, worked himself to death to bring God an offering, and God rejected it. Eve organized it. You can be a one-man organization. I don't have to have nobody with me to be an organization. I can be a one-man organization. Because I'm born organizational. That was my fall to start with. It's when Eve organized it. And her first product was a product of a man trying to go to heaven on works. And that's been throughout the entire Bible. The Old Testament thought there's going to heaven on works. And Jesus tried his best to get them away from that. The New Testament come along, Paul trying his best to get them away from them works. Then what happened? Got it away from the works in the church for a while. But what happened? Here comes the Catholic Church and brought it right back down. What's the Catholic Church based on today? Penance. Salvation by works. Something you can do. No, it's not. It's on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not me and Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He's my salvation. But now listen. Somebody's got to come all the way out, church. As Brother Woodby said last night about a man that was up there years ago that he knew. That man was so dedicated to God, he'd go back and stay weeks in a cave and pray. Fast and pray. Sit there and pour ashes on his, you know, like the Bible says, sit in sackcloth and ashes. Put ashes on him and sit in a cave. God showed him many things and he'd done many things. No one would deny that. But he would stand there, Brother Woodby said, and pat his hand like that and say, there's not one ounce of tradition. You know, I'm not making fun of his word, but that's just the way he said it. Not making fun of the man's speech, but that's just a mountain talk. If you've ever been up in there long enough to say, they'll just say things like tradition. He said that man pat his hand and said, there ain't one ounce of tradition in me. Sit in that cave for days and pray. You ain't never done it, so don't make fun of him. But when the word came of one true and living God to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message that Brother Woodby started preaching, that man that said, I don't have no tradition, got up and walked out. His tradition took him out. The thing he said he didn't have. Blinded. Man stood right here in this pulpit one time, years, a few years ago. Preached to us and hollered and screamed and said, I'm not preaching error to you, I'm telling you the truth. Don't tighten up on me. I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't preach error to you for nothing. Brother Colley, we went outside. He said that man preached error all the way through. But see, he was blinded. I didn't say anything to you about it because it wouldn't need mention it. You know, I mentioned it later on because I don't want to just tear down what somebody said. But somebody's got to come all the way out. You say, I'm out of the church. All right, I started off by saying that's the first thing I said. I'm coming out of the Baptist. Now, Lord, I want the Baptist out of me. I want that out of me that would stop me from serving God. I come into this message and I hurt people's feelings by being honest. I told the church, Brother Tatum, my wife, and them are a witness to it. I told the church in Gainesville when I first started there, I said, I'm ashamed of you. I said, I was a Baptist. And I said, here I am, four or five messages back down from you. More than that, I guess, but you know, Baptist, and then you went into the Methodist, and then all going on, because they're way on higher than the Baptists are in the Word. But I said, I come into this message thinking I'd find people that was already up the ladder with the Lord, and I said, found out you hadn't moved no further than some of the Baptists had. Sure, the people's got the Word. That's the way I still believe about it. I still believe there's Baptists in this message. Say, you believe Brother Brown to be a prophet? That means you're born again. That's no more Baptist than the Baptist whole church is. That's why I don't fight the Baptists. I just fight the doctrine. Methodist sanctification, they shouted. People in this message that base their salvation on. Boy, when the Lord showed me something the other day and I just shouted and just felt so good. And then get up and tell it to the men and ministers meet. They get up and tell them things like that, you know. That boy, the Lord just anointed me and I just felt so good and I just shouted in glory, hallelujah, I had a good time, and then get up and preach his message and you get up behind him and say, brother, you're wrong. And it hurt his feelings and he left the minister's meeting. That's why I don't fight against organizations out there. There's no need of it. It's organizations in me and you. We were born organizational from our mom and daddy. Our mama was Eve and our daddy was the devil. That made us organizational. Brother Brown said, we're a hybrid. He said, all of us. He said, I'm a hybrid. People sure don't like that about him. How could he be deity and be a hybrid? Now, that sure would stop a deity person. How could he be a hybrid and be deity? Now, that would be stupidity in his highest form, wouldn't it? Jesus wasn't a hybrid. He wouldn't have this flesh that we are. His flesh like ours, but it was created, virgin born, not a hybrid. But for our mama that brought us into the world, Eve, our mama of organizations, our mama of babbling. If we don't come out of that, that's why I wanted you to read that, and I wish you would. Just keep on reading what was there. I didn't even know that till I come to church tonight, and I thought, well, I need to read that, because some of the young people like Lisa and them, they come in and they listen to us talk about things that, you know, that we're used to common words around here that for been 15 years, some people, and some of you 20 and 30 years at words that Brother Branham used. It's hard like that, and I understand, and God understands. But He'll bring somebody along that can break it down simple enough to where we can understand it, because He promised He would. But listen, church, you can't come out. Now, here's what I want you to see. We're out of the church. We're called independents, you know. Anybody says, where do you go to church? I got a little church up little. Well, what is it? Is it bad? No, it's a interfaith. I say anybody's welcome wants to come and fellowship with us. But interfaith can be just as denominational as a Catholic church. I've never seen the more popish of people than the people of this message. I've never seen that in my life, no more popish of people than the people of this message. And I don't care where that goes and who hears it. There's people in this message that are more popish than the Pope ever thought about being. When you say that you're going to retain a sin against somebody just because the person misunderstood what you was talking about. Now, there's no popish of one. If that gets to that brother, let him listen to what I just said. If you say you can retain a sin against a person that would, even if it was right, even misunderstand what you said, you can't hold a sin against a person that misunderstood you. That would be ignorance. Ain't no more popish of people than the people of this message. I've made up my mind, this pulpit right here, what I say from this pulpit, if that's like I said this morning, if you don't want to listen to me, then you just close me off. But I intend to try to bring it, because what I see now, what I saw a while ago, it'll take me years to preach it. I mean, just that, it'll take me years to preach it. But I saw what it was, and God help us, we'll see what it is. But you can't come out by yourself. You can get up and walk out of one church into another one. But Luther didn't come out as far as he come out by himself. It was God that brought him out. Didn't we preach the threefold purpose of His glory? Didn't we preach the threefold purpose of the seventh seal and show that every one of them purposes was Jesus Christ doing every one of them? You see the basis of it? You see the foundation of what I'm talking about? You miss a message in between there, you'll miss what I'm talking about and you won't understand it. It'll be left up to you. But listen, didn't we try to cover that Jesus does everything? All right, it'll be Jesus that comes out of the church. Was it Luther that come out of the Catholic Church and nailed that thesis at the door? No, sir. No, he just got the benefits. I hope you catch that part of it. He just got the benefits. He just went along for the ride. Church, what will the rapture be? We're just going along for the ride. You see what I saw? We're just going along for the ride. He does it all. Luther didn't come out. It wasn't him that come out. There was many a man before Luther come out of the Catholic Church come out. I mean, no, that's in history. There's many a person Even Brother Branham in the Church Age book said there was many uprisings of people trying to protest the Catholic Church. But that wasn't the coming out. Listen. That wasn't the coming of Christ. But when Luther walked out one day and nailed that thesis on that door, that was God coming out. He'd made his move. If you didn't move with Luther, I don't care if there's thousands protested the Catholic Church and thousands walked out of the Catholic Church before Luther come out, that wasn't the coming of the Lord I'm talking about. But the day Luther walked out that door, there was the Lord. The Lord was coming out. It went on. There was many great men that preached great messages. Wesley was converted by people. Wesley was preaching the gospel come to the United States. Am I right? I believe it was Wesley. What? Come from overseas to the United States to convert heathens to God. And he got here and some brothers talked to him about sanctification. And he went back home and said, "Lo, here I am, a man that went to save others when I needed salvation myself." And he got back home before he was ever born again. Done preaching the gospel and everything. There was great men making great moves, leading great things. But that wasn't the coming of the Lord. But all at once here was a little man named Wesley. He just walked out of that old system of the church. There was the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself was coming out. Where do we get to that, how the Lord himself shall descend with a shout? Then you'll see more of what I'm talking about, because that's the next message, the Lord willing. But listen, church. There was many great things happened in Wesley's day. And right between Wesley and the day of Pentecost come an open door there. That the name was being restored and all of that. But listen. One day the baptism of the Holy Ghost struck an old black man that was one-eyed or cross-eyed or something out there on Azusa Street. There was great men preaching great messages before then. There was great uprisings. There was great things getting away because the church had done started dying down. Great men come, but there was none of them the coming of the Lord. That's what I'm trying to show you. You can come out of the church. But today the Lord moves you. The time that you move, the Lord moved right out on Azusa Street. There was great men. Now, I'm trying to get you to see where we are. There was great men with great messages. Moody, Knox, Finney, Calvin. A lot of men down through there. Come on over into the Pentecostal. Some of them might have been over in there. I don't even know. But I'm just talking about great men. Look at great men. Look at a man like F.F. Bosworth that Brother Branham called the old oak tree. Look at all of them men and their great messages. Brother Tatum and them was back down through there and some of them. They know those preachers was preaching against organizations back there. They used to, the Pentecostals used to fight organizations so much until they wouldn't even let their children go off to a college of things, you know, to be trained in the seminary and things. Because they knew when they did, they'd die. Those old people back there fought for it and had to get out on the side of the road and go down the highway and pick up corn off the railroad track to feed their children. Because the world hated them. Throwed rotten tomatoes at them. Run them out of the communities and things. We ain't even got that far yet. They ain't hated us enough yet. But that was God's coming out when the Holy Ghost come out. Listen, great men preceded Brother Branham, but that wasn't the coming of the Lord. That wasn't this one here that said, "Come out of her, my people." That wasn't the coming of the Lord I'm talking about. The coming of the Lord is when God moves. You can walk out of the church all you want to, but when God moves you, there's your coming of the Lord. When God moves on you and shows you what you've been and where you've been and how you've been tied up with that. See, watch now. It's His second coming. It's not mine. It's His second coming. It'll have to be Him coming out to bring us out. His coming out is bringing us out. It's the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. See how it's in a threefold purpose with God doing all three of them. What's this example? I don't know. What's this example? Maybe I can go through it in a hurry. Let me just go through it. If I have to, I'll read you the same notes, preach it again next time. I mean, don't bother me to do that. See, but I want you to catch this, but I might just quote it real fast and then come back next time and read it. Brother Branham says, now watch this example and you'll see the coming of the Lord now and what it is. Brother Branham says it's the seventh seal to the bride. Read Feast of the Trumpets. Read that message all the way through, please. Read that message before we preach again. And I'll just preach this for a minute and then quit because it's getting late. If I go on, I know what it'll take. The seventh seal to the bride is the same thing as the seventh trumpet is to Israel. All right, that's page 23, Feast of the Trumpets. The seventh trumpet to Israel, now listen, is God in using two witnesses to call out Israel. Now what, I stated that exactly the way I wanted to. That's what it was showed to me and that's the way I put it. It wasn't the two witnesses. They're not that. They are not that God. It's God in them. They are not the trumpet. Although the prophet called them the trumpet. They are the trumpet this way, yeah, but they're not the voice that comes out of it. You know how you take a trumpet? You know, it's not the trumpet. You can do all, you can hold a trumpet out there and do all you want to and play with it. It won't play a note with it. It's what's behind it. Those two witnesses, God uses them to bring a church out called Israel. And in that, it will be the bride coming of Christ to the Jews in the tribulation. Because He brings them out of a church system. Isn't that what happens in the tribulation? Don't they come out of a church system in the tribulation? Don't they go in a covenant and they say, then that 144,000 see what's going on and they withdraw from that. So she'll be coming out, won't she? The whole thing's coming out. Then the seventh seal would be God in a prophet. Not the man, see, God in a prophet bringing a message to the bride. And I'll just stop right there with it. It'll be Revelations 18:4. But if I go any more, it'd take us to midnight. It'll be Revelations 18:4. Come out of her, my people. All right, that was Brother Brown's message going across. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. One time he called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it was Brother Brown's message going out. Come out of her, my people. That you be not partakers of her plagues. What is the coming of the Lord? It's what is the bride coming to Christ? Coming out of the church. Coming out. God, we're out now, but bring us out. Bring us out. Get me away from this tradition. Not making fun of the man, but it's a good word. We say tradition, you know. Mountain people sometimes say it in a pretty good way. It is tradition. Get us out of the things that we are. Lord, save me from what I am. Didn't Paul say there was two people in him, one wanted to do good and the other didn't? You know, he wasn't talking about two souls and two persons and everything. He was talking about God wanted him to go one way and he wanted to go the other. He himself, the flesh and things. Do you see what I'm talking about? If you can see it, then study the rapture message also. Then you'll see what the Lord himself descended with a shout that it's already passed. And you'll see what the rapture is. Luther, this was his coming out. Bringing the Lord down was working in him. But Luther going out the door was already in the rapture. Now, didn't the prophet say Luther was part of the rapture? If you don't believe that, read Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. Luther's part of the rapture. All right, then as God was coming out in the days of Luther, as God was coming out, not Luther, he could walk out anytime he wanted to, and that didn't have anything to do with it. But when he walked out, when God said come out, that was the coming of the Lord. And watch, for Luther to come from there over to here was the benefits of the Lord coming. The benefits one of these days to me and you, church. The benefits we get is because the Lord has come. Then when he goes, I just go with him. I just travel with him. He's not coming back after me. He's not coming out of you, Brother Tatum, Brother Daugherty, Brother Collie, these ladies. He's not coming out of us, is he? He's coming out of himself. He's coming after the Holy Ghost that's in us. And this flesh we have, what's wrapped around it and all, it just gets to ride with it. It gets the benefits. I hope you see it. I hope we can understand it. I've prayed and sought the Lord and tried my best to be honest and truthful to try to preach to you. You know, to help us. Surely at least you could be honest enough to go home and think about it. You could go home and consider what's said. And pray and say, Lord, what's that brother trying to tell me? And see if he don't reveal more to you, just like he done to Brother Collie about the message the other day. When he couldn't exactly see what I was talking about, he went home, he read the future home. All right. The Lord directed him to read that, he could see what I was talking about. I didn't give him more than he did me, because I didn't even know the future home fit. I know now, because he brought it to me. His brother Woodby always says, a little old washwoman out there that they don't even know how to write, read or write. If she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, she can help you. You help me. I sit and talk with you and discuss things. My wife helps me and don't even know it a lot of times. The brothers at work down there that I work with, they help me many a time in a sermon. I'll get to talking to them. I'll be having trouble trying to see something. Get it together. I start talking to them. They start talking about it. First thing you know, it just all fits together. Because I don't care who the person is. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can help a preacher. Now, that's contrary to a lot of preachers, ain't it? You know, there's people in this message say you better not give them people the books because they'll know as much as you do about it. And they wouldn't even let their people read the books. How much popish can you get? Didn't the Catholic Church take the Bible away from the people and give them what they wanted them to hear? Ain't that the Catholic way? They don't even have the Bible to read like you have it. They have the sections of the Bible and things that they're allowed to read. They're forbidden to try to read it and understand it for themselves. Let's just stand together. It's all right, Brother Cobb. Father, we thank you for tonight. It means more to us than we'd ever think. But to see you, Lord, see what you've done for us. And all we can say, Lord, we love you. And Father, forgive this old human being that we are. Cleanse us from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. Lord, just help us all. Speak to the people. Show them what we're talking about, Lord. You promised that you'd be among us to give us what we ask. And Father, with your presence like it is just now, we ask for the salvation of these, Lord, that's on this list. Of our children, Lord. That you'd save their souls and bring them in. Of these loved ones that have asked, Lord, for these. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'd give us these. For these that are sick, Lord, take away the sicknesses from them. All the list there, and Lord, the ones among us here that's sick, set their bodies free. Satan, we don't have any power of our own. But we have the words of the living God that says, depart from us, because you can have no part here in this. We do it in Jesus' name, because our name wouldn't do any good. But Lord, for the hour, the time, We thank you. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing that I love him. If anyone has a need, the altar is open. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary Street. If you need healing, now sing it this way. He heals me. He heals me because he first loved me, and by his stripes I am healed completely. I'm free. Anyone have anything to say or anything before we dismiss? Pray one for another. Just ask the Lord to be with you and guide you. That's what I pray. My prayer always is, the Lord, I told Brother Daugherty, I said, I pray for every one of your needs. Everybody here, I pray, Lord, for their needs. Not your wants. Wants, that's a different situation. I pray for your needs. I pray for salvation for those that need salvation. I pray for the healing of those that need healing. I pray for the children that you're praying for. I just ask for the needs of the people. He promised us he'd supply that, didn't he? We can pray for that. Our wants might be something that we can do a lot of praying about to get to. But our needs, we don't have to worry about that. We can ask him to supply them. He'll take care of it. Just go home and think about the message tonight. Think on these things the Bible says. Father, dismiss us from one another with love and grace. Protect the people on the highways. Give us understanding in you. Forgive our sins and lead us by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Take the name of Jesus.